Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
All right, we're back. And we are, I don't know if we're better than ever, but we're back. We both have our tea. You're a tea guy. I'm still battling a little bit of like a sore throat. So hopefully this gets me through. Hopefully at the end, I'm not, you know, sounding horrendous, but cheers to tea, my friend.
Yeah, how are you? How is the last couple days of the sickness?
Oh, it's been rough. Let me tell you, there's nothing. Schick put it best. Like when your kid gets sick, there's a part of you that looks at your kid and you're like, "Here, you think that little cold is going to get to me? Come on, that's a peewee cold." And then it just derails you.
Oh yeah.
So I'm doing okay. I've had to conserve my voice. Like I did. I called the Kansas basketball game on Monday. And I tried to literally not talk for the entire day until they were like, and then by the end of the game, I could feel it was struggling. So I should be okay. But the problem is you make me howl, my friend. So
we'll try to keep the howling to
a minimum. Yeah. Okay. Good luck with all of that. So I apologize to everybody. You were out of town. Your boy was under the weather. And in some ways, so we're taping this. It's Wednesday night, about 6:45. In some ways, I'm kind of glad. Are you kind of glad that you've let the rule hiring get announced? You get the press conference. Mm-hmm. You let the dust settle. You let they wipe up the confetti. You know that you smoke a cigarette. You say, "Was it good for you? Was it good for you?" Is that a thing? I don't know if that's a thing.
But it was a big thing for
the '60s.
I think there's a generation that. Smoked. Everybody smoked, right? Coming out of the war, everybody smoked. And really up until probably our parents' generation, everybody in between there smoked. And I think it was like, that's the best thing you could possibly do after you do it.
Every scene in a movie is like, you're doing your thing for that chicken wang. then the guy or whatever rolls over. Immediately goes to the bedstand, immediate lighting of a cigarette. We're talking within a span of 15 seconds, cigarette is lit and you're smoking. It's like, okay, I don't know how they did it in the 60s, but can we get something that's just,
oh yeah, okay. What's the equivalent today? Like kids?
You get on Instagram. I mean, I feel like people just go and then it's like,
oh my God.
Just start going through the TikToks. I don't know what it would be today.
What is Kanye doing today?
What is Kanye talking about today?
Or they pop an Adderall real quick?
Like, maybe. Ooh. I don't know. But no, it's been nice to let.
The dust settle.
Let it just sink in. You know, I think you and I talk about this all the time. Like when big things happen, we live in this world where it's like, have a take, and whatever this take is right now, you fucking stick to it. You will never be able to change your opinion, and you cannot alter it. Tell me, right? It just happened right now. Tell me right now what you think. You know?
Yeah, you're supposed like, to fully, you have to be fully formed or something by the time, like, the news breaks and you can possibly say something.
Yes.
Right?
Like, I even reflect now on, like, the pandemic, and it's amazing the lack of grace everyone extended everyone else to just, like, let me get my hands around this thing. I'm like, what this is and, like, how I feel about this and what, you know what I mean? Like, everybody, you had to have incredible perspective on a once in a lifetime thing right in that moment. And if you didn't have the right perspective, how dare you?
What kind of person are you? I'd argue it's still hard to understand.
Today it is a little bit.
The pandemic today.
Yes. And think it March 2020, you had to know exactly what was going on, how you felt about it, what all this stuff.
And it defines who you are.
And I think to take this to a complete apples to oranges, but like the same school of thought applies of like, okay, a hiring of Matt Rhule happens and, or a new coach is hired and it's like, call it now. No, don't
good
give
hire,
me that.
Bad.
I don't want any like, well, no, man, you got to tell me right now. I want five reasons why it's bad or five reasons why it's good. And it's like, okay,
let me just... So do you hate him or do you love him?
Yes.
Because like, there's no in between.
Zero in between with that stuff. So it's been nice, I guess, in that regard to like allow some time to kind of pass and watch the press conference and look at him and like listen to him and then think about it more. Because I think I've arrived at some different, I still have some questions and what and all that, but I've arrived at some different places.
And I'm sure we'll get into the press conference, but the press conference, I mean, that's from Saturday to the press conference. Like if you your takes before the press conference for
right
versus after, I'm sure it's already been changed.
So real quick, before we get back into that, we do have to, let's start with this and we'll get to it and we'll just move on because there's nothing really else to do. So like I said, we're taping this on a Wednesday night about 6:45, about an hour and a half ago, the news broke that Mickey Joseph was arrested today in Lincoln on suspicion of strangulation and third degree domestic assault, which is like what, when the things started popping on Twitter, I was like, oh my God, is this the worst rumor in the world? Oh my God. And then you get the mugshot, you get all of it. The victim was not named. He was arrested at a separate location. And you know, Trev Alberts made an announcement. He released a statement saying, I was made aware of the charges against Coach Joseph, and given the nature of the allegations and based on university policy, he has been placed on administrative leave. We will have no additional comment at this time. Listen, at this point, it's all, we just got to let everything play out. I don't have any take other than this is just incredibly sad. Everything about this is sad.
It is. It's just like, it's
and
sad.
Shocking.
I mean, I keep hoping that it was one of those rumors, but if Trev Alberts is making statements, then
it's real.
I didn't know until right now that it's real. So I kind of was hoping this would be like a hoax, but it's sad. I mean, it's shocking.
Right.
It's shocking and it's sad. And I don't know what else you can feel right now besides that.
It's weird because it's not just someone that you know. It's someone that you have gotten, you feel like you've gotten to sit passenger seat with him on this crazy like opportunity and ride that he's taken everybody on.
Yeah.
You've loved him every step of the way for the past couple of months. And all of a sudden this happens and you know, it's just, I'm shocked right now.
I am too. And I, like I said, I'm just sad. And I think the best thing though, is like, there's no reason to speculate right now. There really isn't. I mean, this is one of those, like, you just have to, as hard as it is that
we have to talk about it.
Yeah, we have to talk about it, but it's also like you said, like, you don't have to have a take. You don't have to, because it's just like, it's one of those situations where it's just like, look, we don't know. There's only the allegation
and you just gotta let the facts play out, let the case play out.
I'm sure in the next couple of days, a lot will come to light and we'll know more.
There are a lot of, obviously, you know, if everything's true, it's, you know, I mean, I don't have to be, you know, Mr. Like, there's just no place for domestic violence. Obviously there's no place for any of that stuff. And you know, the first person your heart goes out toward is the victim who we probably would assume who it is. But the other thing that's just from a football, where we look at this from a football perspective, you know, that's what this pod is. It's just amazing to see a guy at the height. He is at the height of his coaching career. He's never been hotter. He's never been more sought after. All these things. And then this happens. And you just go, whew, brutal.
It's sad. It's sad. So I think you're right, though. We just like, we need to like, just
yeah, we gotta
let people know and let people know that it's just broke. So we don't know what's going to happen by the time.
By the time you're listening to this, there might be some more facts. There might be some more stuff come out.
There will be, and people will know better. But at least we like, I think we just had to like, me and you need to talk about. We're like, what the heck just happened?
Well, and I felt like we needed to lead the pod. It's unbelievably in the fact that we're about to talk about, this is our first conversation about Matt Rule being hired. Like, I felt like this needed to lead the.
Well, now this is going to change things.
Changes a lot. A lot of things, because you go, is Mickey going to stay? Is Mickey going to stay? Now you go, Mickey ain't staying. And there you go.
Okay.
Okay. Well, to then transition, do you want to put the headphones on and listen to a song?
Got me one, get me one.
I am ready for a song. It doesn't really work, but it works at the same time, okay? It's a song that I know you are a fan of, my friend. And it's this one, right? Yeah, it's this one.
There we go.
Okay.
It's never as loud as
I know. So, so it's a song that I know you're a fan of, and it's the most low hanging fruit. I just was like, okay, what song has a certain word in it? And I think that's the song I want to play for the song of the day.
I have a guess of the word you're looking for. Now I'm trying to think of the song.
You want to just find out, or do you want to, a couple more seconds to think about it?
I think you're going to incorporate the word rule.
Yes.
But what song?
Are you ready for it?
I don't
know. God, I love this song. This song is one of my, I don't know what it is. It's the, just even the first couple of seconds of this song, just, I've heard it a million times. It still just fucking stops me. Like it just, it hits me.
Give it to me, buddy. Give it to me. Oh, yeah.
I couldn't think of another good song, but... I mean, how good? Tears for Fears. Everybody wants to rule the world.
Welcome to your life. There's no turning back. Even while you sleep, we will find you acting on your best behavior. Turn your back on Mother Nature. Everybody wants to rule the world.
Everybody wants Matt Rule to rule the world,
Matt.
Right now.
Rule.
Shouts out to my guy, Matt Rule.
Is the guy ruling the world right now in Husker football. That is a great song, though. You know what's underrated is at a party, if you play this, people still love it.
Sneaky? Like, you would think it's more of a song like you're on the interstate by yourself, like a by yourself kind of a song.
Yeah.
Sneaky party song.
Because it's got a pretty fast beat.
Yes.
Everybody wants to rule the world.
1985. A very 80s song.
Like super 80s.
Just such a good. I want to get the final guitar after this. They hit us with it and I love it. Just can I get it one, just one more and then we'll tone it down and we'll get into it. Come on now. Come on, Matt Rule. Come on, Matt Rule. Where you at, what? Matt Rule in the house. Do we want that? Did another guitar. It's late to the party that joins in. It was a little tardy and it's going to come in. I mean, God damn.
That's why it's good.
God
it's got
damn.
That good. It just got a great beat to it.
Oh, that's a song right there. So that, I don't know. Is that stupid?
I'm playing it out slow. Here we go. There we go. There
is that a stupid song? I didn't know
no,
what else to
that's
put.
A great,
that is
I
a
had,
great song.
I knew that's like, I was trying
was
to
that your guess?
If that was because, yeah, I was actually, that one kind of was twiddling the back of my mind.
It's not really like a song for Matt Rule, but it has Rule in it. So we're just going to go with it.
That's good.
We are going to go with it. So Matt Rule's officially hired. Can I start with this? Before we get into just our reactions to it, I thought Dirk Chatelain had a hilarious on his Pick Six, the Pick Six podcast, him, Sam, and Tom. I love listening to those guys. And he talked about this leading up to Rule being hired, but he talked about how Nebraska fans and some media members, it's like we are that person that is on their fifth marriage. And everything that happens reminds you of like, oh, well, that reminds me of my second marriage.
Yeah.
Or anything that comes up, you go, oh, I've heard that before.
Yep.
So the one thing I've tried to do, because it's so true, is I've really tried to clear my mind with Matt Rule. Don't bring the baggage of Bill Callahan and Bo Pelini and Mike Riley and Scott Frost and whoever. Don't, I'm trying not to bring any of it. Now, it's hard because that baggage comes with you, but I'm trying to not bring any of that with me because I'd imagine nobody gets married thinking, you know what? This might end in divorce.
Yeah.
Like everybody thinks that this is the one, we're going to be together forever. And the same thing with a coaching marriage with a fan base and a coach, especially with Frost. Like I was not 99% sure, not 99.9% sure. I was 100% convinced he would work and it didn't. So that's a hard thing to wrestle with when now I'm standing at the altar with Matt Rhule and you go, I do. But I said I do 4 years ago. You know, yeah. Does that make sense?
I think you're right. I think as fans, we have a lot of baggage. I think that's probably the truth. Like everybody I've talked to has said the same thing, which is I have a healthy skepticism going into this marriage. Every one of them. Every person I've talked to has said, I'm skeptical. I'm excited now.
Right.
But it's skeptical. I'm not going to get my hopes up. That's what I keep hearing from everybody. I'm not going to get my hopes up, which is not what you'd normally hear when you're getting married, right?
Yes.
So I think that's what I'm hearing. That's fair, right? But if we're going to kind of jump into Matt Rhule.
Go for it. Jump in.
The Nick Bob Podcast is brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors, and I want to talk to you guys about energy efficiency. And if you go onto Pella's website right now, you look at it, and how about this? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different types of windows or doors by Pella won the Energy Star 2020 Most Energy Efficient Award. That's big time stuff right there. And they achieved that in a couple of waves. They got insulated glass, which slows the heat transfer, keeping your home at a more comfortable temperature. They got types of low E glass, which is a glass coating that has been optimized for your climate. They got triple pane glass, which you can upgrade to for increased insulating airspace. And within all of that, one of the keys is proper installation, which is key for window and doors to perform at their best. And you know the Pella experts are excellent at that. Bottom line, energy efficiency matters in making your home more comfortable, and Pella Windows and Doors are at the top of the line when it comes to energy efficiency. Check them out online, PellaOmaha.com. That's PellaOmaha.com.
I guess like the one thing that we also got to understand is those other marriages, those four others.
Yep.
We got to watch all those other coaches watch what they didn't do right. You know what I'm saying? Where to me, it's like the one thing that I kind of like stood back and thought about after I listened to Matt Rhule's press conference was it seemed like everybody kind of understands more. Like we've been drilling into the problems. Like me and you for 5 years have just been like,
yeah.
What are the and most of the fan base is right there with us. Like all we've been doing is for these four coaches is here's what they did wrong. Here's what they did wrong. And then the Frost era has been like, here's what they all have been doing wrong. What does Nebraska need to do? And we've been kind of breaking that down. After that press conference, the first time I felt like, well, it seems like him and Trev and the chancellor and like they all kind of understand what has gone wrong and what we probably need to do.
Totally agree.
And I have never seen more clarity in that sense. It's not just right. Like, wow, we got a great coach. It's like everybody seems to understand something.
Yes.
And that's where I'm kind of like, I was like pleasantly surprised from that end that like, well, at least we kind of know what we got to do.
I totally agree. Because Rhule even mentioned that when he went on College Game Day right after it broke, and saying, I think it was Reese Davis asked like why Nebraska, and one of the things he talked about was incredible alignment between Ted Carter, Trev Alberts, and himself, and we can kind of roll our eyes at that, but that matters. Like when is it's been a while since there's been straight alignment, everybody on the same page from president, chancellor, AD, coach. It's been a long time since that's been the case.
And players fan base, right?
Right. Because even as you talk about the press conference, because I think what you're saying is a little bit of what one of my first takeaways was when Matt Rhule got up there and started talking, I was like, oh my God, he sounds just like Trev.
Mm-hmm. They were using the same lingo.
The same language, the same talking points, the same.
Yes.
And you could sit there and say like, well, that's orchestrated. It's like, I don't, that is a genuine, because I even think they talked about it in the hiring process, both of them did, is like, it was almost like who in Step Brothers.
Yeah.
Where it was like, well, I think I like physicality. I like toughness. I think we got to build from the trenches. Did we just become best friends? Yep. Like,
yeah.
That's what it seemed like.
I think that they've not only, like, do they probably, have similar philosophies. I think they've just talked through those philosophies so much. They're both like, this is the right philosophy, right? And I think they both are in alignment with it. So they're using the same lingo and they're talking the same talk, which means that, like, Trev has explained to him probably thoroughly, here's where Nebraska is. Here's all the things we've done wrong. And Trev knows those things. And I think Rhule has really understood that. So that to me, I was like, I
couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
And I even think, Trev or Rhule got asked about it or brought it up like unsolicited on a side little conversation with somebody about how much they sound the same. They're like, yeah, they think like we're, that Trev's telling me what to say or whatever. It's like, no, we just speak the same language. They talked about physicality, toughness, being developmental, all those kinds of things. And that matters. Not only because Trev's right, but you better have it's why we've talked about it. Like, one of the reasons I never felt like Mickey, all the things Mickey would talk about what needs to get fixed was recruiting.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's not really what Trev would be, like when Trev talked about, like, we need to be he always talks about being the elite developmental institution. Yeah. We need to be, physicality, tough, all those things. Like, Rhule sounded just like him in that. And I'm like,
Nick, I think for the last month, those two have talked probably a couple times a week about this kind of thing. Like, it makes sense that they would be on the same page because they've been talking through it. Well, what does development mean to you? Okay.
Yes.
Like, what does alignment mean to you? Okay. Like, and they,
what does toughness look like? How do you coach physicality? Yeah. How do you, all those things?
Like, say me and you are talking about something and we talk about for a month, like when somebody asks me and somebody asks you, we're probably going to say dang near the same thing because we've been talking it through and we come to the same conclusions. Well, this is really the right probably answer.
But I also think, what is it? I feel like you've seen some Newlywed Games on, like, ideal date night, and each person has to answer.
Yeah.
And one might be like concert, party all night. One might be like
romantic night
walk or whatever. And like, you check your compatibility. So what I think is interesting is I it would have been great to be able to be like a Fed and tap their phone. I don't know why.
By the way, you still haven't watched The Wire, Nick.
I know.
If you're going to tap phones, you got to be willing to watch The Wire.
Of all the things
and
that
Nick
are like,
Bob,
if you would say that, I'm like, hey, man, you tell nobody all that. You put my business
for
out
what
there.
People know and think of Nick Bob. Are you ashamed that he hasn't watched The Wire? The most Nick Bob.
It is a Nick Bob show. I know. I'm sorry.
But it is dated in the sense that there's wiretapping.
Yeah, yeah. But listen, I'm trying to tap
Rhule. I'm going to
tap their phone real quick. Because my guess is, though, that Trev, I bet the first conversations are more like, those conversations are open-ended. Like, well, what do you, if you were to be the head coach in Nebraska, what are some things that you would bring, or what do you think is important? And you're looking for those commonalities,
Yeah.
And so my guess is that's how it started. And then they go back and forth and then they're like, totally. Cause I mean, they're from the same kind of era.
They're
a little bit too,
I think, like, close in age. I mean, I think Trev's a little bit older,
right?
But yeah, I mean, there's, one's from Penn State, one's from Nebraska. It's like, look, they're in that same era. Both were under great coaches, Paterno and Osborne. Like, they both work for, like, elite places. I think they both clearly get it. Whatever it is, which is like, they understand what's going on. It's clear they understand it. Like, Matt Rhule got up there and said more things that I thought were right about what Nebraska is than I think I've ever heard. I was like, yeah. Right. I mean, I don't know where you're at.
I mean, because we're kind of going all over the place here, but I mean, do you want to stick with the presser?
Yeah. Okay. Let's stick with there.
Because I think one of the things that, and Dirk wrote about it, and it's been, I mean, he's the son of a preacher, and you can tell,
He can talk.
He gets up there, and that dude is captivating.
Yeah.
He can really command an audience, hold an audience, but it also, like, it's not just fluff. Like, it's what he was saying all made sense. I'm with you. Like, it was all... it was all stuff that we've been talking about for a long time. And listen, communication matters. Charisma matters. It doesn't guarantee that you're going to be a great coach. But if you kind of think about it, like, if you go through a lot of the older coaches, like, in terms of their how captivating they were, charismatic they were, how much they were, like, he talked about relationships. I think that's important too. Yeah. Like, Frost connecting with kids, charismatic. It's like, yeah. Riley, I mean, he was kind of older and a dork.
Yeah.
Bo, yes. I think Bo really, you could speak to it. Bo really
connected in the locker room.
Yes, where but he was, not, with not with the media. Masses.
Yeah.
Callahan, nah. And then even Frank and T.O. weren't the most engaging people in the world. I mean, I feel like
that wasn't their strength. Their strength wasn't like addressing the team and being charismatic. They're like, you know, T.O.'s was more
right.
just like the, you know, the presence and the, you know, the stoicness,
which is a place for that,
the work. You know? Yeah. I mean, and just he had vision too, right?
Well, okay. So what else with the presser jumped out at you?
I mean, he's the first guy that's come here and said, this game's about offense and defensive line, like
right.
recruiting them, like developing them.
It's how you win. What do you say? Yeah. It's how you win in the elements. It's how you get a lead and keep a lead.
Yeah, like and just being physical and being tough, like physical tough development, O lines and D lines. Like that's we've been talking. We've been beating that for especially the last 2 years. We've been beating that drum and. It's like when you know, and that's where like, I hope it's not lip service. I think he believes it. I do
that's
think
the thing.
He believes.
I'll be interested to see if it is or not.
Yeah, but I mean, he's saying all the right things. Like he just checked off every box I could have wanted to check off. I mean, he in the opening press conference tells you how you need to recruit Nebraska,
right?
Which is like I'm going. Thank God, you know. He's got the Texas, Florida, Jersey.
Yep.
They got the East Coast thing and then the 500 mile radius. He's talking about, we can't let these FCS schools take our, you know, like right. he hit all the points. Like he's done, like he won the press conference. Right.
Right.
So like, that's where you have to be pleased with that there seems to be an understanding of what needs to happen. Now, does that mean it will happen? We don't know that yet.
Right.
And that's our skepticism. That's the
fifth jaded marriage.
That's like, the whole thing.
My fourth husband said the same thing to me. You know, like, you know, that's where you gotta. But at the same time, my fourth husband did not say the same thing because if you think about it, like Callahan, he was going to come in. It was West Coast offense. You're going to, we're upgrading from this stuff. Like,
we're just got the best scheme.
We're best scheme. Yeah. Bo came in there and Bo was like, listen, anybody looks at us sideways, we're knocking the fuck out of them. That's what our philosophy is, you know? And it was like, that kind of worked, you know? Like, it's
Riley back to West
Riley
Coast,
back to like,
Nebraska, right?
And then Frost, it was speed and we're going to outscore you and all that stuff. So, like, he was the first guy to come in that's new because Frank, you know, when Frank got hired, it was just going to be a continuation of what had been happening for 40 years. But like, he's the first new guy to come into the job and say, here's what I believe. Trenches, developmental, physicality.
Yeah.
That's how this thing's going to get
built.
This
is how we recruit. This is how we're going to do things. It's going to be hard work. I did like though, he was very like grounded in it's going to be work, take time.
Right.
And it can be done. But, you know, like, I think those were, that was just, it was a, he was subtler than I think people might have expected him to come out with maybe more bravado, but like, he was very understated in a lot of that. And I really actually, I appreciate
it. I thought he handled the you know, people asked about timeline of when things happen. He was honest. He was like, hey, you know, I want to win tomorrow. I want to win every game we play. This is going to be a lot of work though.
Yeah.
Because, like, I don't know what people, you know, and that's the thing that Frost couldn't help but, like, step on rakes with stuff. You know, the whole, I hope the Big Ten has to adjust to us, and even you better catch us now because in year two we're going to be dangerous. You know, it's just like you say all that stuff. you just kind of, now a lot of this is like when it doesn't work, then you throw it back in someone's face. But like, I thought Rule handled that stuff pretty well.
You protect yourself in the future by doing that way, which I would probably do. The Frost way, it's fine. Just got to win. And then it's like, you doubly look cool. Like, you doubly look better. Like, if you call your shot and you have bravado, then people later on say, that's what we needed. We needed somebody to come say it. So, like, in the end, I don't care that Frost did. It just rules. Now you can't go back and come at him. You know?
Yeah, because, I mean, as we're sticking with these marriage things, like, if we're doing the vows was like, repeat after me, Matt. I, Matt. Vow to build through the lines. Vow to build through the lines. In rain or snow.
Cold weather or warm.
Cold weather or warm. I will run the football. Like the vow, but like he said,
I will run the football.
He prepared his own vows, and they were good.
Yeah, and Trev said, I will run the football too.
I mean, Trev and Matt Rule basically got up there, and they were like, who gives away this man? And it was like Tom Osborne was like, I do.
I give away Trev. Trev, do you promise to support Matt through losses and wins? Through fumbles and turnovers? Through two-point conversion misses and safeties? And block punts and field goal shanks?
Tom Osborne married him.
Trev and Matt Rule got married.
Tom Osborne married him. Oh, that's really funny. Oh my God. No, but he did, like, his vows, everything he said was like, damn.
That
shit's spot on.
I was in Nashville with my wife on vacation, and it's 10 o'clock at night. We missed it during the day, but we pulled it up and we both watched it, and she was like, wow, he's a great speaker. And I was like, yeah, he did a great job. Like, he just won the press conference. Like,
he was really good.
Good start. I mean, that's where you can't, like, that stuff matters. And I'm telling you, there was probably a lot of people on Saturday that went, I don't know, we got Rule. And then on Monday after that press conference, I don't know that there was a lot of people that were like, I'm still mad about this hire. I think most people were
I was a little bit like that. Yeah. I wasn't mad about the hire. I wasn't like, this is a terrible hire.
Yeah.
But I would say I wasn't one of those guys, like, I'm not going to be disingenuous, and people can run back the tape if we've been talking about this for months now. Like, he wasn't number one on my list.
Dave Aranda was number one,
or Kleiman, or even, like, I think it also was weird. It also hit weird for people when all of a sudden Fickell got hired to Wisconsin, because all of a sudden it was like, you know, Fickell shows up in his wedding dress, and you're like, we could have married Fickell?
Fickell.
But... so that drummed up some emotions. But here's the thing, is just because someone isn't number one on your list doesn't mean that you think they're a bad hire. No. Like, I just needed some time to kind of like sink my teeth into it. And so I would say after the press conference, I did feel a little bit different about him. I was like, okay, not the low hanging, like he just was captivating up there and I got like swept off my feet because he was slick talking. But what he was saying was all like, I mean, he nailed it.
Yeah, and you know, the guy had a point too. Like, he doesn't have to coach this year. He could have taken a year off, done media, and made, you know, $40 million, right? So the fact that he wanted to do it shows that he actually finds Nebraska like appealing.
Because
he doesn't necessarily need the money. I mean, we're really paying him.
Yeah, we'll get into that.
But you know, the guy is a worker. And I get the sense that to be successful, you have to be kind of a ridiculous grinder. Like, you really do have to be so, you got to have a level of energy to do that job right that's really unique. And I think he's one of those guys. I do think he has the energy to go, I'm just going to recruit forever.
I'm just going
to
call everybody. I'm going to hit everybody with love. Like, yeah, right.
And, you know, and like, and you can, you know, I don't want to like harp on anybody in the past, but like, you know, that's been some of the issues. Like at some point, like we just don't recruit to probably the level we should, in the last handful of coaches. And like, I get the sense that this guy is going to go, he's going to go the length. He's going to go, he's going to go for it. Like he's going to always be pressing the next level with recruiting. Especially
well, I think even Trev, I mean, at this point I've read so many quotes and heard so many people talk. I might even be like making things up. Like, but I swear Trev even kind of basically said like, there's no guarantee that anything's going to be a success. But the one thing that won't happen is like, we're not going to be at the end of this thing and it's not going to be because of a lack of work.
Yeah.
And I really like Rule's one of those guys that seems like he is going to grind for it.
Here's the way I look at Rule. He's Penn State walk-on, coached in the East Coast. Temple's kind of his, you know, his home base. I think he's one of those guys. He's got a chip on his shoulder guy. He's a guy he got where he's gotten by not just because he's some supreme talent. It's like he's a worker guy. He's a guy that had to kind of go against the grain and against the odds to have success. And it's like it's a little weird because he's not a Nebraska guy. And he doesn't feel like a Nebraska guy.
I know, but at the same time,
it doesn't matter. It like doesn't matter because I think he is that guy that has the energy and has the ability to just grind and go for it in a way that's like, maybe it's not the Nebraska guy thing, like the sort of the Tom Osborne Midwestern thing, but it's okay. It's okay that he's not, if he has like the right sort of like big picture alignment that we do.
But he does seem like a Nebraskan in the sense that I even appreciated what he said. Now we'll see what happens if he loses a couple of games with this, but like, I even appreciated what he said that like, listen, I came to Lincoln to be a part of this community and not hide in seclusion. Like that's what Nebraskans also want to kind of be able to like see you, reach out and touch you. Like that's what Frost, let's be honest. Frost was MIA. And again, it'd be hard. It's one of the things I wouldn't want that level of fame for any amount of money in the world. I really wouldn't, to be able to not go anywhere. And I couldn't stand that. But Bo was always a us against the world.
Yeah.
That's just, and that was how he was wired. Callahan's not going to go out there and, hey, how you doing, Aaron Runza? You know, he's not going to do that. And Riley just wasn't here long enough. And I think everybody was kind of like, even if Riley, I'm like, hi, everybody, I'm here. I'd be like, oh, God, Riley's at Valentino's again. Oh, boy. But in the sense that he is, feel like a Nebraska guy and that he's wants to be out there and arm around.
I don't know if they brought in the PR firm, but like, here's what you should tell every Nebraska fan at this press conference. Right. But they like, they got everything right. Like just even that was a big thing. I go, God, good state. Like,
yes.
Like you want to be a part of the community. Like, nobody said that before. No coach has even thought about saying that.
Do you remember?
That's why I'm saying he knocked it out of the park.
Well, even little things like this, and not to, I mean, again, I don't want to go back and like kick the guy, but even like, I thought it was Frost's wife wasn't at the press conference, if I'm not mistaken. Frost, do you remember at his introductory press conference, he like almost killed the mood and like emotionally told all of the media that his parents and his family are off limits. Yeah. Like at it, like it was basically like you guys will not be reaching out to them. And all. And it's just like, he always had a chat. Like there was for being the prodigal son that returns home, there was always a little bit of like angst with him and the fan base, both ways.
Yeah. But Frost has such a different story than Matt Rule. Like Matt Rule is like, nobody knew who Matt Rule was coming out of high school.
Yeah, you talk about starting fresh and all. Yeah.
Coaching career. Like, Scott Frost was like, you know, top recruit.
Right.
Like, the recruit, you know, like, you know, goes to Stanford and Bill Walsh comes back, you know, has the stuff here, but then wins a national title here. Like, you know, his journey is very different, but like, he had a different dynamic with the media, with fans. Like, so Matt Rule, the one thing he kind of has going for him is like, he's never been put up on a pedestal like Frost had or had to deal. Like his is more like he can kind of just come in and just be himself.
You know what's interesting? And I don't know why when I talk to you, I always go into these like hypothetical dating situations. Like sometimes when you're with someone, you can have too much history.
Yeah.
Like, man, we've been through too much. I got too many things about you that I remember and vice versa. Sometimes those things like make it harder.
Yeah.
I think one of the things that became clear, and granted losing only kind of amplifies this, was it was almost like Frost and the fan base, Frost and the media, Frost in Nebraska, and this goes both ways, they all kind of like knew too much about each other.
Well, yeah, and it seemed like there's always like there was, you know, a handful of the not Frost people
that were quick to want to
that immediately were kind of like they were kind of,
and in that sense it's nice to go on a blind date and Matt Rhule sits down and you are like, okay, I know nothing about you.
You're an East Coaster. Other than you're like,
okay, it says your name is Matt Rhule. You were at Temple.
Oh, good.
Wow. Okay. Baylor and Carolina. Wow. In the NFL. Okay. We say me and you get out of here. You know, but
call Tom Osborne. I think we got
call Tom. I think I need to ask for his hand in marriage here. You want to marry Matt Rhule? Okay. But I think my favorite thing to do is Tom Osborne. I think I love it more than anything in the world. I don't even know if our impressions are accurate at all.
You're Tom Osborne's. I don't even know how to say that. It's pretty bad.
But no, but to your point, it's kind of like, talk about totally, it just feels like there's no, it is a brand new sheet of paper, a brand new notebook, brand new, like the Frost notebook, that shit was tattered and stuff all in it. So whatever. The other thing I was thinking about, the more I let stuff digest and think about and you analyze, the more I've realized this, of that Rhule fits what Nebraska needs in this regard as well, that he is a builder. He won at two schools, Temple and Baylor, two different conferences, two different parts of the country, two different situations. And the one thing that I want to shame myself with is we can poke holes. And you remember we did the whole thing like didn't beat a ranked opponent, blah, blah, blah. You can poke holes in that. But the bottom line, the dude won. And if we have learned anything, and we being the collective, we the fans, the media for Nebraska, if we've learned anything over the course of the last 20 years, it should be to appreciate winning and never take winning for granted. Yeah. It is pretty fucking sweet and rich of me and everybody else to pull up a Wikipedia page and look at an 11-win season and go,
no rings.
Well, what? I mean, well, wait a minute. Hold on.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, okay, 11 wins, but I mean, who are in those wins?
Yeah.
When our ass is sitting here,
that's the truth.
It's like, has not been to a bowl.
Who cares if you win 11? If it's a ranked team or no ranked teams, but you win 11, it's like you won 11.
You won 11 games, dog. Yeah. You see what I'm saying?
You like, won the conference title at Temple. Like, you know, like you won conference title. I don't care if it's Temple's league.
It's all relative.
You won the title. That's the best you can do where you're at. And that's the point, you know? And that's the part where we just like, it's so clear to me though now, like, I mean, yeah, obviously they fired Frost. It's like, we needed that change, that breath of fresh air of like something totally different because I just think it would have been too hard to kind of go on. And I mean, right now it's even hard to talk about the Mickey stuff because of the whole today's thing. But like a continuation with Mickey would have felt like a continuation of the Frost era in a weird way.
I totally agree. As much as that doesn't make sense, it makes sense.
Yeah, because I mean, you probably keep a good chunk of the coaches.
Right. I find it hard to believe it's Mickey's going to then go fire everybody. You know what I mean? You're right. Like, removing the interim tag would have felt like a continuation. This feels like a legitimate, complete starting over.
Yeah, it feels very night and day.
And I think that is what this program needs. But I just feel like Nebraska needs someone who knows how to build something into a winner.
Yeah.
And it's one of the things that whenever you think about feathers in the caps of, you know, you talk about someone, Urban Meyer's resume. It's like he did it at Florida. He did it at Ohio State. He did it at Utah. It's one thing to win, but it's another thing to do it at different places. He's done it twice at two very different regions and all that stuff. And again, I all of a sudden, have you ever been doing something like, I caught myself going back through. I was like, well, let me redouble check this ranked win thing. I'm like, who the fuck do I think I am?
Yeah.
It's okay to look at that stuff, but it's also like Nebraska. Who the hell do you think you are?
To write him off like we're too good for that or something. Right now, we're not too good for anything. Like, we cannot win.
Can't go to a bowl game.
We can't go to a bowl game. So our expectations need to be different than cherry picking that type of stuff and be like, we need a builder. We need somebody that can help us get back to being a winner.
The other thing, and I already talked about this a little bit, but I really think he strikes me as he's a big relationship guy.
Yeah.
Like, that seems to be at the core of who he is. If you had asked me right now, like, what do you think his secret, like, sauce is, or like that's whatever that makes him special? Like, I really think he seems like a guy that has a special gift with connecting with people, in particular younger people.
Yep.
And I think that matters now more than ever, because back in the day, coaches could be maybe more of a hard ass my way or the highway type of dudes. But I do think players and kids now are built a little bit different. It's not a my way or the highway type thing. Like, you got to kind of like, you got to engage them a little bit. And he seems really good at that.
Well, he was very careful. Like, you know, normally when a new coach comes in, it is a lot of the, like, I'm running people out of here.
Right.
I'm laying down the law. Like, he's, you know, he met his first meeting with the players. He talked about how, like, I don't want to run anybody out of here. Like, he was very, like, concerned.
His line was, none of you chose to play for me, but I chose to coach you.
Yeah, it's like very,
which is a very good, like, thing
very
to say.
Thoughtful, but very different than the normal new football coach stance, which is usually like, shit's going to change. Starts now. If you don't want to be a part of it, get the hell out type of thing.
And again, right? I hate that. Almost like, this is the last time we're like, Frost didn't do that. Frost was very, there was a very, like, if anything, he drew a line, and it was just like you had to wear the scarlet letter of, like, you played for the fucking Wuss Riley. And I think, like, there was a division in his mind with that. And I don't think that ever ultimately plays well for people.
The Nick Bob Podcast is powered by Runza. You know, there are a lot of ways to greet someone. Hey, hi, hello, what's up? Another way is, what's popping? Well, here's the thing. That greeting has taken on a new meaning now, because the answer to what's popping is now Runza's new popcorn chicken. That's what's popping. Runza's new popcorn chicken is amazing. Little, bite-sized, delicious, all-white meat chicken that make any day better immediately. I love them. My wife loves them. My kids cannot get enough. 2-year-old Mac, 6-year-old Mava are constantly wanting to get it popping. Great for a snack, great for a meal. Pair them with the best crinkle fries on planet Earth, and you are set. All I got to say is, you need to get out to a Runza location nearest you and get it popping. What's so hard to understand about that? Get it popping with Runza's all-new popcorn chicken. Runza makes it all better.
Well, I think it's hard that – I think there was a little too much blaming the last staff in the Frost era. A little bit too much, like, well, they were just – that's the
– you think? Yeah. I mean, it was – and again, just because you're right doesn't mean – it's right to say it.
Yeah, I think that's another lesson learned. Like, and that's where, you know, I don't know if it's just Matt Rhule and Trev, or it's they literally hired a PR department and is like, trust me on this. And they have not said a bad word about the previous staff. They've said, actually, they think they did a lot of good things.
He complimented Mickey. He said he's called Scott.
Yeah.
He called Scott. He said he considers Scott a friend and really, like, all this stuff. Like, it's all the things that you're supposed to do.
And that's I'm impressed with it. That's why I'm impressed. I don't know, like, say it is just the press conference. They're doing it, but I like when people do things the right way, because it tells me they'll do things the right way.
Yes.
And if you can do the press conference with all those details correctly, you're thinking through them.
Right.
Which makes me believe you have a better chance to think through, how are we going to recruit? Okay, how are we going to set up our day? How am I going to ensure these guys work this way? Okay, how do we win football? You know,
yeah.
I want people to think things through all the time about everything.
Especially when you're the head coach, you have to be the most thoroughly thought out, detailed dude there is. And the other thing too, sticking with the whole relationship thing, like, I know, I understand where you're coming from. Like, the NFL, the fact his failure at Carolina, the struggles of the NFL doesn't really bother me. We've seen a lot of good coaches go to the NFL it's and not work. Too. It's just a different deal, especially like he never got a quarterback. Like, the NFL, if you don't have a quarterback, it's like you're screwed.
You got to play these guys that are the best of the best. You know, you're playing Tom Brady twice a year. Like, you don't got a quarterback and you play Tom Brady, you're getting beat.
You're already two in the hole. Yeah. You know what I mean? You're already two losses in the hole. Yeah. And but the other thing, as I watch him, and this is just an observation, like and this is real, you'll understand this. He strikes me as a guy whose style is more suited for coaching college players than pro players. Like, I don't think, you know, all that, I think so, my opinion would be most pro players, they don't need to hear the amazing speech and the debit, you know, and like,
I would argue sometimes that
it's a turn off.
And I wouldn't doubt that that's part of, if he had issues at Carolina, I bet his issues were he was trying to be that guy there, and it's harder to be that guy.
And if it seems and like it, pros just want to be like, man, just like,
yeah. And there's probably a learning curve for him. You know, because he said he learned a lot. I bet that's part of the learning curve is like, I don't know. I got the sense too that he's very much about like just being straightforward on the same level, like more like less coach player, more like this. And that's a very much an NFL thing. College is usually this.
Yeah.
I'm the coach, you're the player. NFL is we're all equal. And he said something along those lines. We're all just people playing, you know, on this team. And that's like a very, very modern pro football type of talk. And so I think that's maybe a lesson he learned, but I do think you're right. He's more suited for college.
I think, and I see it, I can only speak to it with certain college coaches. Like some of the all-time great college coaches, like a Tom Izzo. Like, I don't think Izzo would work in the NBA because Tom's an old school, I'm going to chew your ass, I'm going to get at, like, that's not how it works
Bill
in the
Self
NBA.
Bill Self is a college
Bill Self is a, coach. Exactly. Yeah. I think
Dana Altman, like, college basketball.
Yeah. But like, for instance, like, I think Greg McDermott could coach in the NBA. Yeah. He's got more of that, like, that temperament to him.
Yeah.
Like, and I think the same thing applies for college and the NFL, just from your personality. So I think I, in watching him and studying him, I'm like, that's just an observation of like, I bet that was an issue for him in the NFL.
I would assume that he just,
his style didn't quite mesh,
but that's where style, you got to find your fit. You got to play to your strengths. And like, maybe, you know, one of his strengths is that communication, is that like, you should have that be used more. College is probably a better place.
College is the
energy that it takes to recruit. Like, that to me is where, like, he's got that energy.
College, like, is more, you know this, Bo, because, I mean, you were in the NFL and you played in college. Like, college football is more, I think culture is almost more important in college sports than it is in professional sports, in that, like, you know, because when you're a pro, you're there to do a job. You're a professional. Yeah. You're always going to be there. And then guys get traded. You know, you can be on a team that you didn't even necessarily choose to be on. And you still got to go and buy in and all that stuff. But like, I think he strikes me as like, so in college, you got to be able to cast a vision, galvanize, get people to buy in. I mean, if you're having to beg a $20 million corner to buy in the NFL, like, that's not, that guy's not going to make it, you know? Yeah.
It is a different dynamic in the NFL. I'm
not saying culture doesn't matter in the NFL, but
it does, but it is built differently almost, right? It's You're right, because you're... I mean, here's the thing, though. College is slowly... Yeah, and this is why it's a good experience for Matt Rhule to go there, because college is evolving to be more like pro now. NIL, transfer portal,
right,
is closer
what's
to
contracts.
What's
in it for me, and if it doesn't work for me, I'm out of here.
And free agency, yeah. Like, so right. I think that will actually help Matt Rhule navigate that part of the changing landscape, and he seemingly is very open about embracing it more than the average coach. Like, his press conference, he had to like walk back, like, oh yeah, I'm not paying you. That's right. Like, he almost said, yeah, right, we're going to pay you. We're going to be, I was like, no,
right.
He's like, no. I should not say that. And it's like, oh, but that's, I think it's good. You got to embrace it. Like, if you're not embracing it, like, what are you doing? Right. So, I think he's well suited for this moment. Now the hard part comes where it's like making it happen.
The other thing real quick, with last thing on the NFL, I mean, you've been on a bunch of text messages where I've kind of sent this. Like, I do think the fact that he was viewed as good enough to coach in the NFL is a comforting thing. Like, I do think the NFL is the ultimate truth serum in that, like, the NFL doesn't care. And that's why I love the draft. I love the draft because it's like, these GMs, they don't care if you're from Mississippi Valley State or you're from LSU, whatever. Like, if they think you can play, they'll pick you.
Yeah.
And I think the same thing for the coaches a little bit. Like, if someone or the league, if you're good enough for the league, that's impressive to me. It's almost like, remember for a while in like the mid 2000s where anybody the Spurs drafted, you just, it was like automatic, like,
yeah, they're great.
That guy's got to be great. Like, I do subscribe to that school of thought a little bit of like, anybody that gets named head coach in the NFL, to me, I'm like, that's really impressive.
Yeah, you've done something.
You've done something right. Yeah. And then the last thing with the NFL, that connection is good for recruiting too. The fact that you can dangle that, like, I was in the NFL, Christian McCaffrey, I know that, you know, like,
here's what it takes. I you know, it was a good experience. I got to be, because he was talking about not only get you the NFL, but get you the second contract. Like, he's talking about second contracts. Like, that is actually, that is a important factor with elite recruits.
For
not
sure.
Not just recruits. We're talking about the elite ones that are thinking
everybody, both
next contract. The best ones that are thinking about their second contract.
Well, and almost everybody thinks they're, everybody right now that is showing up as a freshman, they all think they're going to the NFL. And you gotta, I mean, it's good to be able to dangle that out there. His contract, it's an 8-year deal. $74 million, 90% of it is guaranteed. It's an escalating year by year. So it's not like straight $9 million a year. So it's so next year it's $5.5 million. Then this is each year after that. Then 6.5, 7.5, 8.5, 10, 11.5, 12, $12.5 million.
Is that insane?
Nick, think
that
about
that. Seems insane, doesn't it?
When you read that, you're like, damn, Nebraska, 12.5 million dollars is what this dude's going to make in the eighth year of his deal.
It seems crazy, but that's the state of college and pro sports right now. It's just like, they're making so much money. That's the market, man. That is the market.
Yeah.
It's crazy, but it's also, we're backloading a little bit because of the,
I believe the buyout
is paying part of it, which is,
and I think that's a part also of like, because one thing I wondered was like, if it's Rhule, why did this take so long? But you found out like there was a lot. Usually you're just negotiating Nick Baugh to Bo Rood, or in this case, Trev Alberts and the University of Nebraska to Matt Rhule. But it had to be Trev Alberts, Nebraska, Matt Rhule, and the Carolina Panthers. And they had to figure out how to negotiate all of those.
My guess is that Carolina wanted Nebraska to pay more than Nebraska wanted to pay, obviously.
Right.
I mean, I think Nebraska.
That's what I assume.
Nebraska would maybe backload more, so they paid less up front and could do more with, like, you know, money for NIL,
yeah, whatever, or assistant coaches, assistant or whatever.
Coaches. Yeah, my guess is that was the battle, and Carolina was saying, "Well, no, we're not going to agree to this unless you pay more and more." And I think Nebraska was probably going, oh, damn.
Because there was, I mean, at one point, the deal, just like a month ago, 4 or 5 weeks ago, the deal fell apart.
Yeah.
It wasn't going to work. But then Trev came back to the table and they worked it out, and there it goes. So 8 years, $74 million. It's escalating. It's a lot of money.
A lot of money for coaches.
Then a $7 million pool for the assistant coaches, yeah, which includes the strength staff. That's a big... Nebraska's now in the big boy deep end of the pool in spending, which, but I mean, it's like the Big Ten money and Nebraska's got...
But like, to me, it's a statement too. Like, we're gonna spend with the big boys.
Right.
We're going to hire a big boy coach, and that's our attitude. And I think it's the right attitude. Like, we're not trying to play small right now, right? We're trying to do this the right way. Give him the resources. We got the new facility. I mean, like,
that's a $150 million facility. Paying a coach $74 million, 90% of which is guaranteed. Like, Nebraska's committed to this thing, and that's a good thing.
It's a good sign.
That's a good thing. Couple more things. There's been a couple. I don't know a lot about some of these people, and I don't want to. There's been a few staff members announced.
Yep.
Offensive coordinator Marcus Satterfield. He's the South Carolina offensive coordinator right now. He was with Rule at Temple, Baylor, and Carolina as well. The exciting thing is he's the offensive coordinator for South Carolina that just beat Tennessee and Clemson, and in those two games they combined to score 94 total points. So you go, oh my. Now, the jaded, my second wife part of me comes out. Like, I went through and looked, and I was like, well, what? So I went through and looked at, like, the box scores. I'm like, no running the football, all throwing it. You sound just like Bill Callahan. I don't want to talk to you anymore. Like, that's how... Those are those things. That's the first thing I did. Is that sad? I saw it. I was like, oh, Marcus said, oh, well, hold on.
Nick, I did the same thing.
I was like, well, what'd they do? You threw for 300 yards.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, I wasn't ranked that. But you know what? Like, in the end, here's what you got to remember. The offensive coordinator, but he's now back with his head coach, right? The head coach with the offensive coordinator. I think that you need that sort of, I think the connection.
The understanding, the chemistry.
The chemistry between a coaching staff is important.
Right.
So I'll give him the benefit of the doubt that, like, Rule has a plan with him. They know what they need to do. And it might change with Rule in Nebraska. With Nebraska, like, Rule says he wants to run the ball if he can and be physical. Well, maybe that's not what the head coach at South Carolina wanted, right?
And, so, I mean, when you're in South Carolina and you have Spencer Rattler, who's a good, who can throw the ball, and you're in the SEC, and you got, like, yeah, maybe in that scenario.
It's like Trey Palmer and Casey Thompson, right?
Right. It's
like,
you know, I'm always so, like, anybody that's an air it out first person, I'm always just like, you sound just like my second husband.
Just like him.
So we'll see. I'm interested to learn more about him. A guy that I have to assume you know, and I have to assume you showered with him a couple of times. Am I right?
Probably.
Who hasn't showered?
Probably.
But I'm talking about Jake Peets, who's going to be the quarterback's coach. He's from O'Neill, Nebraska. He played at Nebraska from 03 to 05.
I know Jake well.
Do you?
So okay. I just saw that news. I was really happy.
Isn't that exciting?
To hear that. Yeah, he is such a Husker through and through. Like, he is a walk-on, like, hard worker. Like, he's a guy that you never really had a chance to even play, but he decided, like, I'm going to be the backup long snapper. And he just worked at it, and he was like, I don't know, he may have got on the field a few times, but he was just a great locker room guy, great friend. Like, he's a guy that just was just a positive influence all the time.
Well, and he's kind of racked up a pretty amazing coaching resume.
He's one of those guys I would say is surprising. Like, not that it's surprising how far and fast he elevated in the NFL, because he was a guy that, you know, you're not like the superstar that gets the job easy.
Right.
He had to work for it. So, kind of on that theme I told you about Rule, I think that all these guys he is hiring are these, like, they're these grinder underdogs,
right?
Which, Nick, I like it in the sense of, especially with recruiting, they work harder. They just do. That's how those guys got there. They just go the extra mile, and they've all proven that they can do that.
That's, well, like, I'm even looking at his Wikipedia. His first job in coaching was Santa Barbara City College. He was the special teams coordinator, safeties coach, and strength coach.
That's how they had to do it then.
So that's, but like, yeah, like, and I bet he got paid shit. Had to share an office with like three people. They ate Wendy's And yeah, I mean, it's
because Jake, if I, my memory serves me right, he was an assistant strength coach with us and then walked on the football program. So okay. That's how he got his start with us, was like, he was an assistant strength coach.
I didn't know that. That's interesting.
He's just a guy that just wants it. You know what I mean?
But you look at it. He's the LSU offensive coordinator last year. He's been with Sean McVay. He's been an offensive analyst with Nick Saban in 2013. He's been with Jacksonville, with the Redskins, the Raiders. He's been, obviously with the Rams, with McVay. Like
a lot of good experience.
He's a Nebraskan. So
I love that he's been with Alabama twice. Like, so he's been with Alabama twice. He's been the pros, you know, for a good chunk of his career. So he has a lot of good experience, right?
Yes.
So that's a big plus.
It's exciting. Yeah. Then hired Terrence Knighton
as the defensive line coach.
Yeah. Looks like he's got a pretty good resume. Guy that played in the league. And it was with the Carolina Panthers and with Matt Rhule there. So that's fantastic. Some other guys that they hired, Ed Foley, is going to be the special teams coordinator. Evan Cooper, it's not official, but he was the defensive backs coach and recruiting coordinator before. Corey Campbell is the strength coach. Not sure if you've seen a picture of that guy.
Oh, I saw him.
Oh, man, that guy.
He looks the part, doesn't he? Oh, yeah.
He 1,000% looks the part. EJ Barthel is going to be the running backs coach. He was at UConn right now, but he was with Rhule at Temple and Carolina. He was also the recruiting coordinator for a year at Penn State.
Yep.
Which is good. So the staff is starting to round into form. I just cannot wait. You were wondering two things. One, the Mickey factor, and now that I think we can assume where that's probably heading.
Yeah.
And then who's his defensive coordinator? I'll be fascinated to see that.
I think it's going to be one of his guys he had in the past.
Okay. Seems like it.
I think he's an older guy. I'm pretty sure that's the guy that's going to be coming.
I was hoping for
Jim Leonard.
I wanted revenge Jim Leonard.
That's a question, Nick, because will Fickell keep Leonard? That's a tricky one for him.
I feel like that's a pretty shaky situation that Leonard got the rug pulled out from underneath him, and it's created a big division amongst the players and the fans. My guess is I would think Fickell would maybe want to keep him, but Fickell also is already – Fickell's kind of a defensive guy and, like, has – so I thought, like, call Jim Leonard and then make it a package deal with Braylon Allen, their running back.
That wouldn't hurt.
That would be fantastic. But I'll be curious to see. But like I said, my guess is if there's any trend we've seen, it's, you know, hiring guys that's been with them either at at Baylor or at Temple or at Carolina.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's going to be the guy from
Is he a Baylor? Yeah, that's what I thought I'd heard. Yeah. That he's the Baylor defensive coordinator right now, isn't he? Or is he...
I don't know.
I thought I'd heard something. Check that. I'm not sure. I thought I'd read something about someone.
He was either the Temple or the Baylor. It's one of the last two. So,
couple other things. We do got to praise Trev Alberts. I think he handled this whole thing really well. The fact that it was so buttoned up, it wasn't leaky. There wasn't a bunch of rumors until the very end. And I mean, these rumors were like, we had fun with them, but not a lot got out. I thought he did a really good job throughout this process. And if there's anybody, like, the thing that I like, whenever I started to feel anxious about this situation, I would just be like, listen, I trust and believe in Trev, and whoever he chooses, I am going to the fact that Trev gives him the stamp, I give him the stamp. And then the fact that Trev talked the talk, like everything Trev talked about that he was looking for in a coach on September 11th when he fired Frost is all the same stuff that he talked about with Matt Rhule and that Matt Rhule talks about.
It's kind of amazing, actually.
It's like you talk about a guy that Trev went out and said, this is what I'm looking for. And he found it. Will it work? I don't know.
It's just like I said, we don't know what's going to happen, but it's just good to see at least seemingly they're doing everything right.
Yes.
And Trev, I mean, like I said, we'll see how this goes, but I'd argue that the best hire Nebraska's had in the last 10 years has been Trev Alberts.
The fact that there was even some people that weren't necessarily, is Trev the right hire for AD? Like, man, are you kidding me?
I guess I didn't think AD was that important of a job until Trev. Like, until Trev took over and I went, oh, that's how that job's supposed to be done.
Oh, he's the man. I love that guy.
He's been awesome. So
he's been
like,
great.
That's been a bit of a revelation for me. It's just like what an AD's job is and how to do it right. That dude's writing the book on it. He is. He really is.
The other thing, Trev, he said they talked to 13 coaching candidates or whatever. 13. I think I got them. I think I just in my head. Like, do you think? I think I got all 13,
let's hear
right? Okay,
well,
so
let me hear them.
Rule, obviously.
Yeah.
Leipold, Chris Klieman, Luke Fickell, Gary Patterson, Jeff Monken, God Country Option, Matt Campbell, Dave Doran, Bill O'Brien, Urban Meyer, Mark Stoops, Bronco Mendenhall, Chris Peterson. That's my guess of the 13 coaches they taught. Anybody...
I believe the paper said he reached out to like Belichick and Saban and some of those people just for advice.
Right.
Not
Does
for
that
like,
count as?
Probably not.
I don't know.
Probably not.
I just thought like, I was like, let me take a stab and see if I can get to the 13 names.
That's probably about right. I think that's probably right.
Pretty good pool there.
Pretty good. Another thought I just want to touch on that we're talking about coaches and staffs and but here's one thing I want to tell you I like about Rule. Okay, Penn State volunteer assistant, Albright college linebackers coach, Buffalo defensive line coach, UCLA defensive line, Western Carolina special teams linebackers, Western Carolina head coach special teams linebackers, Western Carolina head coach running game coordinator special teams linebacker, Temple D-line, Temple quarterbacks coach recruiting coordinator, Temple offensive coordinator quarterbacks coach, Temple offensive coordinator tight ends recruiting coordinator, New York Giants assistant offensive line coach, Temple head coach, Baylor, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
He's coached almost every position. So he's coached O-line, D-line, tight ends, special teams, linebackers.
Right.
Running game coordinator. Like.
Yeah, it is unique. That is very unique.
Nick, do you know why I like it? Because he's the head coach. He's not the coordinators. And he knows what each job is supposed to do and look like.
Right.
I find that we've suffered when the head coach has tunnel vision on the thing he knows and doesn't know what the problem is. Your job as the head coach is to find the problems when they happen and be able to change them. You got to know what the problem is and how to fix the problem. That's your job. And we haven't had coaches that always could do that. I think it's a lot easier when you've been in each of those positions and actually coached, actually know what it's supposed to look like.
Great point. That was a fantastic point. I totally agree. And I think you also can't just outsource it too. You know what I mean? Like, well, I don't know anything about offense. I'm just, you deal with that. Like, well, like.
But then you don't see the problem.
That still doesn't solve the root issue.
Yeah.
Like, now, I'm not saying you have to be an expert at everything, but.
If you can't see, if you you give your coordinators, hey, you go, do your thing, right? But if it's not going well, it can't be, keep doing your thing. It has to be. I see where the problem is. You're not doing this. Your guys don't understand this. You're not communicating well enough. You need to have this change. And I think that's the next level. That's the difference between the okay coaches and the great coaches. The great coaches see the problems and understand what needs to change, what their coaches need to change. Where I think the average coaches outsource it and go, do I just need a new coach? What's the problem? Like, they can't.
Right.
Coach their coaches.
Probably. And I wonder if on some level, and you, I don't know if you have had a coach like this, it'd be kind of weird if you're the head honcho was really had his hands in one side of the ball and was really invested on that side of the ball. And the other side of the ball, you just, they never really were around you or coached you.
It happens
you.
All the time, though. It happens
all the
time.
I know. It's just, that's a weird.
I don't like it because it becomes fragmented and it becomes, you become blind to your weak spots.
Right.
If the head coach isn't in everything, you develop these blind weaknesses or something. It's like you just
interesting.
You let these things fester. One side of the ball can just you can kind of get this runaway where like they just I don't know, they just can really
no, I like that. You made a great point. Yeah. That's a great point. I completely agree. He seems like one of those guys, and I would think now Belichick's a defensive guy, but I feel like Belichick strikes me as a guy that could go into he could go talk to Tom.
He does.
He could go talk to the special teams. He could go talk to the D line and literally get in there and be like, "No, you gotta your hand."
Tony Dungy said that because Belichick was Tony Dungy's special teams coach for a few years when I think they were at I don't know if it was Minnesota or Detroit. I think it was Detroit, and so he was telling him like Belichick spent like a whole day teaching him like how to properly block a punt, and he said the next day he blocked a punt. You know, like
right,
Belichick
right.
was a special teams coach, so he right. cares about doing special teams right. He knows everything about it, right?
Right.
He watched film with Tom Brady every week. Him and Brady watched film. Brady was the offensive coordinator. Like, right. So he is talking through things with Brady. What do you, like, that is what a good head coach does. He, you got to know everything. Why are you getting paid $70 million? Well, because you're responsible for it, knowing what everybody should know.
Right.
And you got to be responsible for getting the players.
Right. And I love it.
That's the only reason you should be paid $74 million. I think it's insane, but that's why you should. You better know all that stuff.
I love it. That might be a good way to wrap it up. Unless there's anything else, that's a great final point. Do you have anything else? We also have, we have 5 months until the spring game and then months and months after that, like to digest all this stuff. So we got to pace ourselves a little bit with all these things.
I think I sent out to the group in our group chat. I said, what I want to see is how Matt Rhule addresses O-line and D-line
right.
recruiting in the next 2 months. Right. That's an interesting, that'll be an interesting thing. Like, how do you even address
that? Well, and even, I mean, so like, I thought I had read a report that Matt Rhule has expressed to Casey Thompson that he wants Casey back.
I think they got to be working on that.
Trey Palmer already said, got to go to the NFL.
Got to go.
O'Shawn Mathis said he was weighing his options, but leaning towards the NFL. So we'll see. Now it'll be interesting that also then who stays, who enters the portal on the team. I've never seen a guy like A.J. Allen. Now that Brian Applewhite's probably out, A.J. Allen might be gone. Who knows?
Maybe our boy Gabe Irvin will get a carry.
Gabe Irvin will finally get the situation he's always deserved. But yeah, and then it's still interesting to like, and we won't know until the season starts of like, I still don't quite have a sense. I know what Matt Rhule says he wants this thing to look like. I don't know if I have a great idea of what it's actually going to look like.
It's going to take time. I mean, that's like I say, I'm interested to see what he does with the O&D line, but like how much can happen in one recruiting cycle?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Not a ton.
Not, I mean, at this point, yeah, if you can find anybody worthwhile in the portal, but I mean, you're recruiting. It's going to be hard to get like a recruit at this point. You got
right.
It's early signing days is like.
Yeah. When the portal thing still opens on the 5th.
Is early signing the 15th?
That seems early, but it's in that 15th, 20th range. I don't know.
December 15th. It's not next week. It's not the 5th.
No.
It's
the portal 15th. Opens on the 5th, if I'm not mistaken. The 5th.
I think early signing is like the 15th.
Yeah. So things are going to move quick here.
Dang.
But then, yeah, and then obviously I'll be interested to see who his defensive coordinator is too.
Yeah.
That's it. My voice hung in there. You hung in there. You made great points. I personally would have wished the press conference would have been Tom Osborne marrying Matt Rhule and Trev Alberts.
Who's wear the dress? Should we end on that?
Okay. It's fantastic. All right. Matt Rhule, he rules.
Everybody wants to rule the world.